The first point that we'll focus on today is the idea of performing a kinyan on a person is a strange thing. So really that's the subject of the beginning of the Masechta. When I talk about a kinyan, I normally think about something like a sadeh, a karka. I think about mitaltlin, maybe I want to purchase a sefer. To the extent that we have purchases of human beings, it's in the context of avdus, and that doesn't really seem like a supernatural model for thinking about ishus. So one of the first and major points of consideration that we're going to deal with in the Mishnah, as well as in the Gemara, as well as in the Rishonim, is what do we mean when we say ha'isha niknes? The second parak, as the Gemara is going to know, uses a term, it's called Masachta Kiddushin, not Masachta Kinyanim. The second parak begins with Ha'ish Mekadesh. Right? That would have been a more natural opening. And in fact, that's the first question in the Gemara. So, we're definitely going to talk about that. We're going to introduce the methods of Kiddushin and the methods of reversing Kiddushin and some of the differences between them. And we'll talk about that. We'll compare Kiddushin with like a close cousin, what we call Yibum, which has some very profound differences. We'll already talk about that in the Mishnah. Depending on how far we get today, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the role that, let's say history plays in terms of giving us our sense of Kiddushin. It's like taking things back all the way to Adam and Chava. Okay, so let's jump in. Ha'isha niknes b'shalosh drachim. Remember from first grade that shalosh is lashon nekeva, ironically, and shlosha is lashon zachar. So this is going to be a little bit of a point of inquiry in the Gemara. V'kones atzma b'shtei drachim. So Rashi points out immediately that the truth is that kinyan here is a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a misnomer, but doesn't mean what a kinyan normally means. When I purchase a sefer, so it's mine, I can move it wherever I want, I can pick it up and down, all kinds of things I can do with it. So, ha'isha niknes, not in the standard sense of kinyan, but labala, it's a kinyan ishus. And likewise, vikona es atzma, Rashi says, lios birshusa linase la'acher. It's a very specific, focused din that we're talking about, namely her marriage or her ability to remarry. Ha'isha niknes b'shalosh drachem, mekones atzma b'shtei drachem. Niknes b'kesef b'shtar u'b'biya. Kesef is interestingly listed first. In the Torah itself, the Rambam notes here in the Perush HaMishnayos that Bia is much more explicit in the Torah. Ki kach ish isha uve'ala, ki kach ish isha uba'elaha. But yet, Kesef is listed first. Niknes b'kesef b'shtar v'bia. B'kesef b'sham ayomrim b'dinar u'shved v'dinar. You don't actually need the coin, it could be just the value of that. B'sila omrim b'pruta v'shav pruta. Kamahi pruta, we'll talk about this much more in the Gemara. Echad mishmona b'isar ha'italki, so 1/8 of the Italian isar. V'kones atzma beged u'v'misas habal. So this is a point that I want to spend some time on. The Gemara does the very beginning of the Masechta as well. So she's able to, quote-unquote, purchase herself, as Rashi already noted, lios birshusa lina se la'acher, in two different ways, through a divorce document and through the death of the Baal. Now, for sure, these achieve the same result, but you'll, I hope, agree with me when I say that they couldn't be more different in terms of the method. She's no longer married to a man who's dead because he's dead. They never really did anything active to undo the marriage. He just died. He doesn't exist anymore. At least as far as this world is concerned. a get is a very different story. A get is a targeted destruction of a marriage. So, I mean, the result is the same, but the method couldn't be more different. I mean, it's the most simple point, but it's also extremely consequential. In one sense, death is much more powerful. The marriage can't exist. One of the parties literally is deceased, non-existent. On the other hand, gerushin, you might argue, is a much more powerful method because it actually has to undo something that exists between two parties who continue to exist. We'll have to think a lot about that issue. Now, Hayavama, a woman whose husband died, who's awaiting, so to speak, she's attached to what we call a Zika, just before the virus. A Zika means halacha connection. She's attached to her brother-in-law, assuming that there are no children, Vizera Ema. Hayavama niknes bibia, vikones atzma bichalitza uvemisas hayava. A chalitza seems to be like a cousin of gerushin, right? Something like that. And misas habaal is misas habaal. Misas hayavam is, you know, the equivalent. Now, what's really interesting, if you think about the reisha versus the seif of the Mishnah, is that the reisha has three methods for how the way in, right? Kesef, shtar, and bia. When it comes to the seifa for yibum, there's only one way, right? Now, what's probably the simplest explanation for that? Right. Okay, now, let me just reformulate what Gabi's saying, but I completely agree. Right? Yibum, you're not trying to start something afresh. Right? You're picking up where something left off. Now, there's different ways of formulating this, and this will by definition be an oversimplification. But Yibum, in many ways, is a continuation of Kiddushin that already existed. So, for example, Rashi points out, Tosos also points this out, is whereas Kiddushin can only be done midaita shalisha, if there has to be consent, and if not her consent, her father's consent, depending on her stage of life, Yibum fundamentally doesn't require that. It can be done bal karcha, because there was already a kiddushin that happened. There was already consent up front. Ah, excellent. Beautiful Eitan. That's why you need a different process. Very good. Chalitza. So, a very important yediyah. So this falls onto the topic of yediyos. We're not learning Maseches Yevamos, but it's a very important idea. So take a look at the Rashi of Bibia. So Rashi says, Lios ki ishto l'chol davar, shim ba l'garsha acharkach eina tzricha heimenu chalitza elaget. Aval shtar u'kesev ein mo'ilin ba min haTorah. There is no status here to shtar and kesev, right? Rashi is focused on this point that we are raising. Ella midrabanan de tikun de mahani ba ma'amar kid amrinan bi yavamos aval inu gomer balios yarsha metamila velafotra mina chalitza ella leposla al shar echab. So there's something called ma'amar yivmin, okay, that one of the brothers can make a verbal declaration that it is his intent to do yibum. So again, this is not irreversible. This is not the same as doing Yibum. But it would invalidate the other brothers. It would not make him her husband for purposes of inheriting her if she died, or being Mitame for her if he was a Kohen, or if he decides not to go through with it, to say that you need a get and not Chalitza. But it's a rabbinic institution, a kind of declaration of intent. That's what we call Ma'amar. Okay. Now back to the three methods that we employ for Kiddushin: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So Rashi says the following: B'kesef u'b'shtar, Mifarish b'braisa b'gemara, Nosin la kesef u'shvei kesef, V'omer la harei at mikudeshes li. Shtar, Kosev la ha'niyar, Aval pi she'eno shave pruta. The shtar, the paper doesn't have to be worth the pruta. Otherwise, it would kind of be like Kiddushe Kesef, because you're giving her redundant. Hareyat mikudeshesli. Bia ba'alaha v'amar hiskad shili b'bia zo. V'chulu yalif mikrai, etc. They're all derived from psukim. So what element is Rashi adding here that you wouldn't have necessarily known from the Mishnah? That in all of the cases... Exactly. With the exception of shtar, where it's not stated, but it's actually written. Okay, very good. So part of the method requires this very clear statement of intent. And you might even say that this makes a great deal of sense with what Rashi was saying before, that this isn't just any standard kinyan, but it's a kinyan ishus. So the kinyan should reflect, in some sense, right, the bond that's being generated between this man and this woman. Now, we're going to have to deal with many cases. Well, like, is it ma'ake? Let's say you just don't say anything at all. That's an interesting question.
Or what if, by Bia, what if it seems like it's like a condition that this happens? What if it doesn't happen? Is it just not married?
Meaning they're not able to actually go through with the Bia?
Right.
That's a very important question. Yeah.
Because that's the only one that's like open up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very important question. What's the status? Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Ha'isha niknes. Those are the first two words. So ma'ishna ha'cha detani ha'isha niknes. So ma'ishna ha'sam detani ha'ish mekadesh. We have two discrepancies between the opening of the first and the second parak. A, who are we focused on? Isha, and then subsequently Ish. Secondly, the verbalization. Niknes, and then Mekadesh. We're going to have to relate to all of these issues sequentially. Ma'ishna hasan detaniya Ish Mekadesh. So the Gemara says, and we'll see that we're relating first the question of Kinyan, and then we'll have to deal with the question of Isha versus Ish. By the way, everybody can hear me okay? Am I projecting loud enough? Okay. I have one of those microphones at home. I can bring it tomorrow. I used it like last year. But it's okay. I just, you know, there's a lot of ambient noise, so I want to make sure people can actually... Okay. Okay, no, just like let me know if I'm not speaking loud enough. It's okay? All right. Ariel's given me the green light. Okay, so Aisha niknes. Ma'ishna hacha detani Aisha niknes. Ma'ishna hasam detani Aish mekadesh. Mishum dekaboy lemisni kesef. So we really wanted to get kesef across. Right? Kesef appears first in the Mishnah, but kesef is like, okay. Sometimes the Gemara says things that we don't fully appreciate yet. We really wanted to talk about kesef. All right? The kesef minalan gamar what we call kicha kicha misteyatron ukzera shava ksev hacha kiikach ish isha ukzev hasam nasati kesef hasade kach mimeni. So the Torah speaks about kiddushin, uses a four-word expression twice in Parshas Kisetze, kiikach ish isha. The first time is uba ela usneya. The second time is uve Allah. And we have the same language of Kicha in Parshas Chayisara, when Avram was purchasing, of all things, for his wife, a field in which she would be buried. The field had a cave in it, called Maras HaMachpela, HaSadeh VeHame'ara Asher Bo. And there, the Torah used the term Kicha also. Okay, so how does this explain why we use Niknes? So Gemara says, just, you know, go one line further. V'kicha ikrei kinyan d'chsev hasadeh asher kano Abraham. So it seems like the term kicha and kinyan are interchangeable. The Lishna Darai says kicha. Right? Ki yikach ish isha. Nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni. And it's described as hasadeh asher kano Abraham. Inami, another indication that kesef can be used to effectuate kinyonim, sados bakesef yiknu. Okay. So, let me now, with your permission, show you a few lines in Tosos that I think are very significant. So, like, the main point that we're trying to make is that it's a little funny to talk about. We have until 5 minutes after, right? Okay. So it's a little funny to talk about this idea of kinyan by an isha, right? This isn't eved. What exactly is going on here? So, we noted that Rashi was very sensitive to this. Rashi already pointed out, right, this idea that, oh, it's not really a kinyan in the sense of purchasing a radio or a field. It's a kinyan ishus. Isha niknes labala. Now, there are two sides of that, because once she's niknes to this guy, right, she's asura kulei alma, we'll get there in a minute, kehektesh. So the Balia Tosfos seem to have a similar thought. Tosfos says, V'chesef, two Tosfos in from the bottom, Minalan, Gomar, Kicha, Kicha, Misteyach. Vim Tomar, says Tosfos, Umat Sarech Lecholza, Lo Yat Sarech Lomar, Ela, Kesef, Ikre Kinyin, Dichziv, Nasati, Kesef, Hasode, Kachmeni, Uksiv, Hasade, Asher, Kano, Avraham. Why do I need this kicha kicha mistei Ephron? Just say that I know that kesef can effectuate a kinyan. As a pasuk says, kesef kach mimeni, kika chishisha. And it also says that the field was purchased. Inami sados ba kesef yiknu. So why do I need something much more elaborate? Either from the pasuk in Yirmiyah, or from the Psukim in Chayisara, I have a fairly clear indication that Kesef is enough to generate a Kinyan, at least when it comes to purchasing fields. So Tosus answers, Yesh lomar de bahachi lo sagi, dinhide Kesef hasada ikri Kinyan, excuse me, Kesef di isha lo ikri Kinyan. Lekach tzarech lahavi raya de oso kesef de garmina an isha minei ikre kinyan. It wouldn't have been enough to simply say sados ba kesef yikre, or hasade asher kano Abraham nasati kesef hasade kach mini. I still need to link it explicitly back to ki kach ish isha. Who can explain what Tosfos is trying to say? Tzvi, go ahead.
You say that it's not enough for us to know that kinyan about a sadeh. We can't compare the kinyan about a sadeh to a kinyan about an isha.
Beautiful, Tzvi. Excellent. And why not? Because a field is a natural thing to purchase. An isha?
Very different.
Very different. Fundamentally different, right? She's not a field. She's not a radio. So that's exactly what Tosfos is saying, is that you couldn't just say, oh, yeah, well, kesef works for a kinyanim. So, yeah, kesef should work for a kinyanisha. No, it's a fundamentally different kind of a kinyan. Completely different. Okay. Now,
so how does this solve the problem of, because of the
zero, yeah, so that once you link it back to ki kach ish isha, say, oh, we have this zero shava, which tells me that the ki kach ish isha is linked to nasati kesef hasade kach mimeni, same words. And we know that kesef effectuated a kinyan in the case of the sada, so kesef effectuates a kinyan in the case of the isha. It's not enough to just say that in general kesef effectuates kinyanim. It's just a very big difference between an isha and a sada. Okay. Okay, good. So back in the Gemara, Once you have to be willing to accept this assumption, by the way, that it was like, you know, of great and pressing importance to teach me the halacha that kiddushe kesef, you know, comes first and foremost. You have to be willing to accept it. The Gemara doesn't exactly explain, you know, why that was like the most important thing, but if you're willing to accept that as a stipulation, hopefully we'll get some insight into that issue. So the Gemara then goes on and says, okay, fine, I could accept that. Tani ha'isha niknes, v'nisni ha'sam ha'ish kona. So if it's really so important to tell me that kesef effectuates a kinyan of an isha, so let's be consistent, and why don't we just have in the second parak, instead of ha'ish mekadesh, why don't we have ha'ish kona? So the Gemara says, meikara, tani lishna de'oraisa, ulevasof tani lishna de'rabanan. The first parak, we used the language of the Torah, right? The language the Torah spoke in was the language of Kinyan, of Kicha. And then we used the language of the rabbis. So my Lishna Durabanan, where the rabbis come up with this fancy word called Kiddushin. They even named the Masechta after that word. Must be very important. The Asar La Chulei Alma Kehektesh. That's a really interesting line. To us are la chulei alma kaktish.
Isn't that obvious though?
Okay.
That the woman would be ushered out by men?
Oh, right. So Tzvi is saying, like, what's the great contribution here? Like, the rabbis, like, they had to come up with this fancy name for the Masechta. They had to change the wording of the Mishnah in the second parak. It's Ha'ish Mekadesh, not Ha'ish Kona. All because we need to teach the halacha that once this kinyan is effectuated, she's usher to everybody else. Like, so Tzvi says, and I agree with him, what else would a kinyan ishus mean?
Well, also, isn't it because it's also just that it's fundamentally different as a whole. Like, you can't say that the quality of kinyan in and of itself is kind of not doing it justice.
Ah, okay. So I think that in Gabi's expression in many ways actually is the, you know, is the key. So Gavi's expression, when he says, maybe Kinyan doesn't really do it justice, I think is very, very well put, and has many layers of meaning. Because you could have just said, da'asar la chulei alma, but the utilization of this term, kehektesh, you could be makdish something. Generally speaking, when you're makdish something, let's say it's an animal, so it takes on something called Kedusha Saguf. It's the animal's body literally becomes sacred. Or let's say I'm Mekadesh a broom. I want the base of Mikdash has a broom shortage. So I need to donate a broom to the Bet HaKabayis. Right? You would agree that we're elevating, right? We're elevating this object. The animal is now going to end up being Kodshim, Karban. The broom is consecrated. So anytime we appeal to Hekdesh, right, Tzvi, it's not just, you're right, that there's an Isser here, but I think it would be reasonable for us to suppose that we see this as a kind of an elevation, that there's something sacred about this process. It's not just the Asar Lach Le'alma, that now she can't be with any other man. That's true, but Kehekdesh. Okay, so that might be something really worth thinking carefully about. So if you take a look over at Tosfos, Tosfos is very interested in this. Because, in fact, this is the language that we employ when we verbalize. Right? Remember that Rashi that I showed you? Rashi says, oh, Omer la hareat mikudeshesli, shtar kosev la hareat mikudeshesli, bia ba'aleha v'amar hiskad shili. Right? So actually, the language that we employ in practice preferentially seems to be the language of Kedusha. So Tosu says, hareat mikudeshesli, kilomar liosli mikudeshesli olam bishvili. Kimo harei hein mikudashim l'shamayim lios l'shamayim. So Tosus is trying to spell out exactly this point. saying, yeah, it's parallel. The same way that you can consecrate objects, right, you consecrate this woman within the context of the relationship, right? You're not offering her as a korban. She's not going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, but you understand. Then Tosa says, "Upashta demilsa mikudashesli miuchedesli mizumenesli." He says, "Okay, but maybe it's a little bit less ambitious than that. Maybe it's just a way of saying you uniquely, singularly belong to me, as opposed to, you know, involvement with others." Miu, Tosa says, "Imaya omer talis zo mikudashli." Like, let's say you would try to take this language of Kiddushin, which we know forms this special bond between man and woman. Let's try to now play it in the opposite direction. How about trying to make a regular Kinyan with the language of Kiddushin? Right, what we were saying is that, Kinyan and Kiddushin go together in the case of a Kinyan Ishus, but our whole premise today is that a Kinyan Ishus is fundamentally different than other Kinyanim. So Tosis says, let's try it out. Let's try the shoe on the other foot. What about using the language of Kiddushin to try to purchase a shoe? Or a sheet? Or a shirt? So Tosa says, Miu im haya omer talizo mikudashli, im yira sheyoil. Degabi isha b'madim isyachedes liyoslo hina seres lachol. Aval b'kikar v'talis lo shayach l'meymar hachi. So I think this is extraordinary. And it's Tosfos Lashitasam. What am I referring to? How is this consistent with exactly what we saw previously in Tosfos? Exactly. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So the first tzad in Tosfos, Tosfos said, well, just because Kesef effectuates a kinyan in the Sadeh doesn't mean that it's going to effectuate a kinyan by Anisha. So now the shoe is on the other foot. And he says, yeah, just because the language of Kiddushin is really consequential when it comes to Kinyan Ishus, doesn't mean that it's worth a bag of beans when it comes to regular Kinyanin. Good? Okay. So again, the main point that we focused on today was to try to articulate this idea that something really fascinating about the notion of Kinyan as it relates to Ishus. We know there's this idea of exclusivity. She and he, him and her, nobody else. But the term Hekdesh already seems to lend it more significance. I was mentioning just a little while ago that something which becomes Hekdesh, in many cases, becomes subject to the Isser Mi'ila of abuse of Hekdesh. And when the Torah speaks about infidelity within the context of a marriage, it uses the term mi'ila by sota. Kisim ol ma'al b'isha. Okay, so God willing, tomorrow we'll pick it up on this line. And again, the pace is going to pick up as we go, but I really just wanted to, you know, lay the foundation right now, and then we'll, you know, mirtz Hashem, have a, you know, wonderful time in this masechta.